Going around, maybe it's enough for one for every two people, if you could share that. Going around, should be going around to Mama Momo's. Move up, please. That's right. I want to thank Rabbi Tarrigan again for helping arrange and able to arrange many more programs for Am Yisrael and all the Harbatzis Torah that you are responsible for. Okay, it's close again to be here learning Torah together on this very special night of Hoshana Rabbah, overlooking Harabayis, overlooking Beit Hashem, Heri Bana Beis HaMikdash, and Beit Hashem, it's close to our Torah learning and our yearning for actually seeing the Avoda and what we'll talk about tonight. Beit Hashem, we should be zochet to continue learning next Hoshana Rabbah at night, but not just overlooking where the Beis HaMikdash should be, but Beit Hashem, where it will be, Mehera Yibun. Pasuk tells us, I think I started with this last year as well, Aryeh Yishag Milo Yira. Pasuk tells us in Treyasar, when the lion roars, Milo Yira, who is not scared? Who is not scared? In Darshe Rishumos, the Bali Musar say, Aryeh, it's Rosh Tevis, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Hoshana Rabbah. Aryeh Yishag, when the lion roars, Milo Yira, who is not in awe? Who is not scared? We're on the last stop. But the mashal is, Aryeh, we go outside, we start going, walk to our car afterwards, we walk, all of a sudden, imagine one of those little, narrow pathways in the old city, all of a sudden, you turn and you see a lion there. You're like, oh my God, you start running, I can't believe this, they're going to tell me about lions. You run away. And yet, if you ever go to the zoo, you ever go to the safari, the first place, where are the lions? I want to go see the lions. It's a certain quality of zoo if they have lions there, and you want to go see them. What's the difference? Why, if I'm walking out around here, I go around the corner and, I'm scared. And in the zoo and the safari, I want to go see them. So the Bali Musar explained, it depends if there's a hefsek. It depends if there's a mechitza between me and the lion. If it's just me and the lion, and we're there, it's right there with me, that's pretty scary. And that's pretty awesome in the true sense of that word. But if there's a moat, if there's a, it's over there and I'm over here, we're good. It's behind the fence. The goal of this time of year is to break down the mechitzas. I'm going to compete a little bit with Shlomo Katz, but we'll have to do our best. But the goal of this time of year is to be in awe of the lion. To have no mechitzas between us and the lion. And tonight is the last night. Yeah, Pi Chasidu is Zos Hanukkah, but really, even tonight is a stretch. But tonight is, could be looked at as the last day of the Yomim Noraim, the first day of the Yomim Noraim, Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first night of Slichas. We've had a lot of stops along the way so far. So if we're looking for inspiration, tonight's the night. And we have to do our best, and that's the first question that we'll start dealing with is, so what's our avoda tonight? What's our avoda as we come to the end of the holiday of Sukkot? Those who were here last year, we spoke a little bit about Sukkot wearing two hats, the end of the Yom Noraim cycle, the end of the Moadim cycle. But tonight we'll go a little different road. The Rambam tells us, as we know, at the end of Hilchas Lulav, that there is an emphasis of Simcha on this Yantif, even though every Yantif has Simcha. The Vilna Gaon said, the hardest mitzvah of the year, Simchas Yantif. To be happy for 7 days straight without any disappointments, without any you know, difficulties. You know, one might understand that if it's like a regular day where all the kids are in school and I'm going to work and I'm in the Beis Medrash, everybody's home and I'm sitting in traffic and every... Simchas Yontif. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Hardest mitzvah. The Brisker Rav said, Sibrisis Mitzrayim is the hardest. But the Gra said, the hardest mitzvah, Simchas Yontif. So what, but even though it's true about every Yontif, Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, as we know the Torah emphasizes regarding Sukkot, Simcha, and the Rambam describes it as well. Even though all the Moadim have a mitzvah to be Misameach in them, Bechag HaSukkis, Hoitz HaShabit Mikdash, Simcha Yisera. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was tremendous Simcha. Qualitatively, Shineemar, Usmachtim of Hashem Alkechem Shivas Yamim. And what they do, describe the whole process of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and the Rambam Eyad on line 9, Mitzvah LaHarbos B'Simchazu. V'lai Yo'ozer Osami Aras V'chamisha Yertzeh. It wasn't only the Hamon Am that celebrated. Ela G'dolei Chachmei Yisrael, the greatest Rabbanim, the greatest Tzadikim, they were in the middle of the circle and celebrating. What were they celebrating? Yantif? You didn't do it on Pesach. You didn't do it on Shavuos. Somehow it's juxtaposed after the Yomim Noraim. Somehow Sukkot is the segue from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur into the rest of the year. And our job tonight is try to think a little bit about, so what's the message? What are we supposed to be thinking about? What's the Simcha? Why are we so happy? And that's where the Rambam talks about in the last halacha, general simcha when I do a mitzvah. Somebody uses sukkis as a springboard. But the last halacha, simcha sheyisbach adam basiyas a mitzvah, ubaba sakel shatziva bahen, the simcha that I am supposed to have when I do a mitzvah, and the avas Hashem when I do a mitzvah, avoda gadoli, it's an avoda. It's not easy. What does David HaMelech say? Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha? It's not easy to always be happy. Well, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, but Kabbalah is called the Masever Panim Yafes. You have to smile when you greet somebody. How many people do we know like that? Now we see somebody, we see our friend walking towards us, he has a big smile on his face. We're like, what's going on? He's like, what do you mean? The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. No, come on, what's going on? We think it's strange. We're the strange ones. We always, Ivdu b'simcha. But says the Rambam, Avod Gadoli, b'chol amonei atzmo b'simcha zuro eli parmi menu. So question one is, what's the emphasis, what's the simcha of the holiday of Sukkot? Is it a contrast to the Yom HaNoraim? Is it a hemshech? Is it somehow the way that we transition from the Yom HaNoraim during to the year? So what are we supposed to be thinking about? So Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechah Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei, Mitzvahs Arava Ketzad. Today's the day to speak about Arava. What's the mitzvah of Arava? What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? Makom Ayin LaMatav Yerushalayim Nikra Motza. There was a place called Motza on the way to Yerushalayim, off Kfish Echad. Yardim L'Sham, Umalakdim Yisham, Mur B'Yoshal Arava. They used to gather Aravas. Ubon V'Zok V'Noson, B'Tzidei HaMizbeach. They brought these huge Aravos and leaned it up next to the Mizbeach. On the Mizbeach. Brashein Kfuf V'Nagavi HaMizbeach. And the tops of the Aravos were even leaning over the Mizbeach. They blew shofar. And every day they walked around the Mizbeach. As you see, I underlined it. 5 times in this Mishnah, the Mizbeach is mentioned. You put the Aravos next to the Mizbeach. You the heads over the Mizbeach. Makivin as a Mizbeach. On that day, tomorrow, Hoshana Rabbah, Makivin Dech Sheva Pa'amim. What's the emphasis of the Mizbeach? So much on Sukkot. We have more Karbanos on Sukkot than we have any day the rest of the year. When it's Erev Shabbos, in the middle of Sukkot, the Mishnah describes how many tzkiyas do they have. We have more karmanas. We have 70 cows, more musafin. Why does the Mizbeach, every Yontif plays a role, but the Mizbeach seems to have a special focus on Sukkot in this Mishnah and the Avodah, as we know. And the last line is even most surprising. B'shas b'tiras l'mahein omrim. And when they finish the whole Avodah and they walk around Hoshana Rabbah, what they say? Yofi l'cha Mizbeach. Mizbeach, you are beautiful. Wow. You're beautiful. Do we ever focus on any other kli in the Beis HaMikdash? Our own? You're awesome. Okay, nobody's in the Kodesh Kadashim. Menorah? Beautiful. No. Hidur Mitzvah by Hanukkah. What's this legend of Yofi L'cha Mizbeach? Yofi L'cha Mizbeach. Reb Elezer Omer, L'cha L'cha Mizbeach. Okay, I have to focus on our Kodesh Baruch Hu too. But not only do we have a focus of using the Mizbeach, we even talk to the Mizbeach. As if the Mizbeach has some message for us that was supposed to be thinking about was calling it beautiful. What's so beautiful about the Mizbeach? There are other beautiful kelim, and this is what it's focused on, and why daf konsos. And finally, question that we also could talk about is the special avodah that's done. Yes, we use the Mizbeach more, but we do something on the Mizbeach on Sukkos that is not done the entire rest of the year. And that's Nisach HaMayim. We pour wine every day on the Mizbeach, Nisachim. Only on Sukkos do we pour water. Nisach HaMayim. Water doesn't seem so exciting. Wine is something chashuv. Water I can drink outside of Sukkah. So what's all of a sudden you come to Sukkos, you think it's a buildup. Water. Why water? What's the significance? And is there a reason why we pour it on the Mizbeach? Again, the Mizbeach is focused on. The water is focused on. It's time for rain, that's true. That's true if the rainy season is starting. But is there anything deeper in all these ideas? And by the Sibchas Pesach Shoeva has to do with the Mizbeach, with the Nisach HaMayim. So what exactly is the message, as I gave you also, the Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph, Mishal Ora Simcha, Beis HaShoeva, Ora Simcha B'Yama. Whoever never saw such a Simcha, we even call it Beis HaShoeva, where we draw the water. Something about water that connects to the Mizbeach, and that connects to the Simcha in general. So what exactly is going on? So let's go to a different time in history, where the Mizbeach also played a role. Think back to the end of Sefer Yehoshua, Perech of Beis. It's been a long time since Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, 14 years. 14 years, 7 years of fighting, 7 years of splitting up the land, 14 years, and it's finally, the job is semi-completed. And Moshe turns to Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh and say, okay guys, it's time. You kept your word. You kept your word, you're allowed to go back now. And the pasuk tells us, source 3a, it was an added source. Yoshua Perachapes. Oz Yikra Yoshua la Rovuni vela Gadi la Chati Shevet Menashe. Mate Menashe. Calls those Shvatim. Vayom Rale Matem Shemartem es Kosh Yetziv Eschem. Moshe Ebed Hashem, you have fulfilled everything that you promised Moshe, my Rebbe, my teacher, Ebed Hashem. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu was called Eved Hashem throughout Yeshua, Perek Aleph, Perek Habez, until the last paragraph of Yeshua where Yeshua is called Eved Hashem. It's an interesting transition. But anyway, so he said, Vatishmu Koli, you listened, Lo Azatam Asachechem, you promised to go in where Moshe Rabbeinu told you and made you promise at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. But now it's good, now we're settled, and now it's time that you're able to go back. Turning the page, V'yatrak Shimru Me'od. Moshe Eved Hashem. But be very careful. Shimru Ma'od. Li'avas Hashem Elokeichem. Lo laches b'chol d'rachav. Lishmor mitzvos l'davka bo. Similar to a pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Be very careful to fulfill all the mitzvahs of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Dveikus Hashem. Why davka ma'od? Ma'od is not such a common word in Tanakh. Be very careful. Every time a leader told his Moshe Rabbeinu, you say Ma'od so often, be very careful. What's he so worried about? What's Yeshua Ben Nun so worried about? Be very careful. So Parshas is based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, at the end of Avos. We'll come back to the story, but let's just go to the Mishnah for a minute. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Pamacha so'iti mahalech baderech, upaga bi adam echad. I was once walking on the way, and I met somebody. Benasam li shalom, and he said shalom aleichem to me. Vechzarti lo shalom, and I gave him shalom back. Omar li Rebbe Meiza Makamata. Where are you from? Amarti lo Meir Gadol Shal Chachamim, from a great, I asked him where you're from, a great Torah center. Omar lo Rebbe, Ritzon Chosha Tadri Manu Bim Komenu, we're looking for a rabbi. You want to come and join us? Vaniyatin lecha elef alafim dinare zav. I'll quadruple your salary. Just come, live with us. We could use some spiritual edification and nourishment. I'll give you stones, I'll give you anything. But obviously the place that he was being invited to was bereft. Zero Torah, zero Ruchnius. A very dangerous area. Amarti lo, I said to him, says Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma b'ni, emata nosin li kol kesef v'zav avanim tovos v'magalei sheva olam. You can give me all the money in the world. All the money in the world, I'm not going. Eni dar lo b'makom Torah. I'm not leaving. Because what goes with you L'fi shebishas tirasu shal adam im elavin lo la'adam lo kesev lo zav lo vanim tovim magalias. What goes with us for eternity? Ela Torah ma'isim tovim bilvad. Only Torah ma'isim tovim. When I was growing up, I remember we used to sometimes, I used to be driving in the car with my mother. Sometimes we used to pass like a fancy house or a fancy car or something. She just said one word, one phrase. They're not taking it with them. As a little boy, I remember, it made an impression. Every time, they're not taking it with them. Parish of Mishnah. Ein malavin lo la'adam lo kesev lo zav. What's going with us? Torah ma'isim tovim bilvad. That's what's going with us. Just parenthetically. Just thought of something, but it's, this is the Mishnah. Rav Zevin writes, fascinatingly, everything in life has a certain time period, lifespan. People, animals, this shtender. Will this shtender be here in 1,000 years? I'll probably disintegrate by then. Some things are 120 years, some things are 1,000, some things are 10,000 years. Everything has a lifespan, beginning, middle, and end. Everything has a lifespan, except one thing. There's one thing in life that has no time, and that's time itself. Because the second that it's here, it's gone. It has no time. This very second, this millisecond, it's gone. So on the one hand, time has no length. But says Rav Zevin, ironically, the only thing, though, that we could take with us and eternalize forever is time. If we fill our moments and our days with Torah, with Chesed, with Ma'isim Tovim, Avram Zakin, Baba Yom, we had all those days with us. So Rav Yosef ben Kisma says, I'm not coming. I'm not going to a place where there's a spiritual desert. That's what Yeshua ben Nun was saying. Shimru ma'od. Be very careful. You're going back to the Eber Ayarden. I don't know what's going to be there. We're setting up shop here. We have a Mishkan. So I don't know what's going to be. So be very, very careful. Okay? So they go back. And what happens? By Yeshuvu Pasuk Tes. By Yelchub, they go to Reuven. They go to Chazim Menashe. They go back from Shiloh to Eretz Gilad. They come to Galilos Ayarden. The first day. They went back the first. What did they do? Vayivnu b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad v'chati shev b'menashe sham mizbeach halayarda. They built a mizbeach. We'll get back to mizbeach gadol. We'll get back to the last word. They built a huge mizbeach. And what happened? What's a mizbeach for? Karbanos. Where can you give karbanos? Not in Eber Hayarden. Even bamos are only mutter in Eretz Yisrael. What did they build these huge mizbeach for? And there was kim'at, almost a civil war. The first by Yisro b'nei Yisrael, they hear, they build a mizbeach. They're like, what is going on here? They don't know what to do. They send Pinchas there. What are you doing? We just warned you. What are you already building a mizbeach? And what do they say? No, don't worry about it. We're not going to be makriv karbanos on it. That's not the reason that we built the Mizbeach. Why is it there? There's one word that I didn't read before. Mizbeach gadol l'mara. We built it to be seen. We built it as a remembrance of something. We built it to remind us that we're in Eber Hayarden. Oh, there's a Mizbeach, there's a Mishkan. We're only 2.5 tribes. We built it as a unification symbol to the rest of Am Yisrael, writes the Malbim, source 5. Lamare, v'lo la'ol v'zevach. We're not interested in bringing karbanos. Ki haya gavoa ma'od below ma'alos. It was very tall and there were no steps. How's anybody going to get up there? We just built it as a structure. To be a siman. Ad shenireh shelo haya ratzon abonim makriv alav. Look at it. Pinchas, look at it. We're not going to be makriv. Raklasos os v'zecher. We built it just as a remembrance and to remind us that we're really part of a larger nation. Great, wonderful, no civil war explanation. Well, 1 second, let's take a step back. They could have built anything to remind them that they're really part of a greater cause. They could have built a big stone with the Torah written on it. They did that already 70 times. They could have built a Torah. They could have built, a big mezuzah. They could have built 120 things. Why'd they pick a mizbeach, dafka, something that could be misconstrued and misunderstood, and it was almost a civil war? Dafka mizbeach. Again, why'd they pick that? What's the symbol of the Mizbeach in this story? And does it connect to anything that we have to do with Sukkos? So let's go to a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sota. The Mishnah tells us on Daf Mem Tes, last off in Maseches Sota, the Mishnah describes what Yemos and Mashiach are going to be like. Be'ikmas Mashicha Chutz B'yaske. When Ikmas of the Mashicha and the heel, the footsteps of Mashiach is going to be tremendous chutzpah. Hakefet Dizem Piriya Ve'abiyoker Va'amachus Tiafek Laminus Ve'ein Tochachas. It's going to be not good. Beis Fad Yeloznus Galil Yechare. There'll be destruction, physical destruction, spiritual destruction. Yirei Chet Yima'asu. People will hate those who fear Hashem. Ve'abes Tiyad Naderes. The young will not be Machabi the old. All these, this terrible, not seeming what we're looking forward to, times of Yemos of Mashiach. One of the Amoraim even said, Maseches Sanhedrin, Yesi v'lo yachmine. You know, bring Mashiach, but I don't want to go have to go through the Chevle Mashiach. Anyway, it talks about here, all this description. And then at the end, how does the Mishnah end? Val ma yesh banal isha'ein, who do we have to rely on? Alavinu Shabbat Shemayim. Only on our Father in Heaven. Alavinu Shabbat Shemayim. That is not such a common word in phrase in Chazal. Calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. There are a lot of other ways. HaMakom could have said Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim often say Ribono Shel Olam. Don't call Olam in the Gemara when the Malachim talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why Dafka here? The Yemos HaMashiach? Eilon Amin L'Shein Elo Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Why Dafka that phrase, that title to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time period? So maybe the secret of all of this starts with the Gemara in Shabbos, which many of you are probably familiar with. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes, source number 7. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. My dechziv, what does the pasuk mean? Ki ata avinu. You are our father. Ki Avraham lo yadanu. Avraham, we don't know. Yisrael lo yakirenu, and Yisrael doesn't recognize us. Ata Hashem avinu. Go aleinu, may olam shemecha. Unclear pasuk. What's the pasuk referring to? Abraham, Yisrael, Avinu. Says the Gemara, a fascinating story. Lo asilava yomar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham. At some time in the future, Hashem is going to say to Abraham Avinu, banecha chatuli, your children have sinned. Banecha chatuli. Do you have any defense? You're the Zaydi. Any defense for your grandchildren? Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Yimach lo HaKadosh Shemecha. No defense. I guess they have to be erased. They should be erased because of the sanctity of your name. They violated, they didn't live up to their purpose. Avraham Avinu has no defense. Omar says Hashem. Okay, Avraham didn't work. Emel el Yaakov. Let me try Yaakov Avinu. Tehavelit tsar gidul banim. He went through hardships with his kids. Maybe, right, the more you put into your kids, the more you're connected to them, right? The Rav Dessler, the more you give, the more you love. So, maybe I'll try Yaakov Avinu. After the boy Rachmi Alai, maybe he'll daven for them. Omar Le says, Hashem, banecha chatu, your children have sinned. Omar Lefanav says, Yaakov Avinu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yimach HaKadosh Shemecha. Sorry. I guess they deserve it. Avram and Yaakov did not have anything to say. Omar, lo b'sabi time of lo b'dar deki etza. So it says Hashem, the grandfather couldn't give anything, and the grandchild, only one left. The most mysterious Av that we have, Yitzchak Avinu. Very little in Tarsha b'chsav about Yitzchak. That's the topic of a separate shir, but either way, Omar le Yitzchak, b'necha chatu le Yitzchak, your children have sinned. Omar lefanav. So first of all, says Yitzchak, Ribono shel Olam. Banai v'lo banecha. What do you mean your children have sinned? They're just as much your children as they are my children. Right? When a parent wants to berate a child, and the parent says to the other parent, I don't know, this is not my genes. It's your side of the family. Banecha, this is your daughter. Yitzchak says, what, it's my kids, not your kids. B'shah shekdimu yisru lefanecha nazav et ishma. Karasalem b'ni b'chori, achshav banai v'lo banecha. First of all, Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't call them your children. They're our children. I'm a father. You're a father. The ode. And now Yitzchak says, let's do some basic math. Kamachatu. How much did Bnei Yisrael sin anyway? Let's figure this out together. How long is the average lifespan? What does David HaMelech tell us? Shivim Shana. 70 years. 70 years, Dal Esther and Deloan Ashtalaya. First 20, there's no punishment with Deshamayim. So the first 20, we'll take off. Delete. 50 left. Pashalu Chamshin. And now, 50 years they sinned? Dal Esther and Chamshay Delelusa. 25 years, but half their life they sleep at nighttime. Halavai was so much against so much sleep. But, you know, 25 years. You can't fault them for what they do when they're sleeping. So we've whittled it down from 70 to 50 to 25. Partially less from a chamsha. So we have 25 left. Dal tarti srei upalga. Take off another 12 and a half. Another half. Why? Because they're involved in their basic human needs. They're humans. So they're going to have to do certain human necessities. So you can't fault them for that too. Fascinating. What's on the list of basic human needs? If you never saw this, what would you put on the list? Eating, drinking, bathroom. That's on the list. And something else. Sluye. Umeichol besakise. Davening. Davening, eating, bathroom. Davening is a basic human need. Basic human need. It's in our genetic makeup. Connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bali Musa give the example. Let's say you're home alone and you walk into a table and you bang your shin and you start screaming. Who are you screaming at? Who are you screaming at? Nobody's home. Oh, it's just a reaction. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that in? I'm screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because that's an innate connection in every human being to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a basic human need. So 12 and a half, take off another 12 and a half. So we're down to 12 and a half. Right? We started with 70, we're down to 12 and a half. So says Yitzchak to Hashem, Imata sobel askula muta. If you want to forgive them, great. V'im lav, palgalai palgalecha. And if not, you know, you take half, I'll take half. Let's split it. V'im tim salom arkula malai. And if you want to say, no, I have to cover for everything, no problem, says Yitzchak. I have a magic card. Hakravis nafshi kamah. I was mocked of myself to you. I put myself on the mizbeach for you. I gave my life for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing greater than that tzfus. There's nothing greater than mesiras nafsh. Yitzchak Avinu says, and he wins the argument. I was moser my nefesh. No answer. Paslu v'yamru, and that's now the pasuk that the Gemara started off with. Ata Avinu. What did the pasuk say? Going back to the beginning, what did the pasuk say? I forgot the exact Russian. Ki Avram lo yadanu, Yisrael lo yakirenu. Ata Avinu. Yitzchak, you're the Av. You're the Av that saves us. Because when it comes to Mesiras Nefesh, that's the highest level and the greatest list that we have. He gave his life. What do you mean he gave his life? He didn't give his life. He was only ready to give his life. No. According to Chazal, it's Ki'ilu he gave his life. Rashi writes in Parshas B'Chukosai, right on the Pasuk, source 8, Pasuk in the Tochacha. Zachariah Brisi Yaakov, Avraham Brisi Yitzchak, Avraham Brisi Avram, Ezkar, Baritz Ezkar. Rashi notes, there's a Zecher connected to Avraham and to Yaakov. Zachariah Brisi Yaakov, Zachariah Brisi Yitzchak, plain. Vespisi Avraham Ezkar is Ezkar by Avraham. There's no Zechira by Yitzchak. Why not? Why is he Zocha to have the verb? Says Rashi, V'lama lo nemer Zechira by Yitzchak, Ela afaro shel Yitzchak nira lefanai, Savur munach al mizbeach. Yitzchak's ashes are constantly in front of him. What do you mean his ashes? He wasn't burnt. Ki'ilu he was. He was Moser his nefesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ashes are there. From that moment, the Gemara, the Medrash tells us, Rashi has to quote this, source number 9. Amar Chinam Yisrael, Kol Yemos Hashana Yisrael Nechazim Ba'Beiris. The whole year we're caught in sin, Umistavchin B'Tzaris. Ubarash Hashana Heinot Min Shofar B'Token Bo. The whole year we're stuck. Hashem hears the shofar. He remembers the Akedah. Finished. Done. The power of Yitzchak Avinu. The power of Mesiras Nefesh. And this chus of the Akedah, why the Satan didn't want it to happen so badly. He tried to stop Avram Avinu. But that's chus, that's awesome power for all generations. And at this time of year, we invoke the Akedah constantly because we want to get back to that Mesiris Nefesh state of Yitzchak Avinu. Rosh Hashanah, obviously, the Shofar Shalayo. Every day of Slichus, we have a paragraph towards the end called the Akedah. Yitzchak's called Pachad Yitzchak. We start off Rosh Yom Kippur, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, because that Midah is what we try to focus on at this time of year, because that's the greatest chus that we have. And it's something that we have connected to throughout the generations. If anything that can be said about Am Yisrael, if there are any areas that we have to work on, there are many, but there's one area that Am Yisrael throughout the generations, Rachmana Litzlan, has been strong in the area of Mesiris Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the most extreme cases, Mamish giving one's life. Just to remind you of one story, which many of you might know, from Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, Schneeweiss, from the Blujava Rebbe. In the Janowska camp, there was a Jewish foreman from Lvov by the name of Schneeweiss, one of those people that one stays away from, it's not on your sheet, if he values his life. Yom Kippur was nearing and fears in the camp mounted. Everyone knew that the Germans especially liked to use Jewish holidays as days for inflicting terror and death. Nevertheless, a group of Hasidim asked the Blujava Rebbe to approach Schneeweiss and requests that on Yom Kippur, his group not be assigned to any of the 39 main categories of work, so that their transgression of the law by work on Yom Kippur would not be a major one. The rabbi knew the foreman had little respect for Jewish tradition. Before the war, Schneeweiss had publicly violated the Jewish holidays, and in Janowska, he was a merciless man. Despite his fears, the rabbi agreed to speak with him. You probably remember me. I'm the rabbi of Krushnik, Rabbi Yisrael Spira. Schneeweiss did not respond. Tonight is called Nidre night. There is a small group of Jews who don't want to transgress any of the major prohibitions of the day. It means everything to them. It is the essence of their existence. Could you do something about it? Could you help? The rabbi noticed a hidden shiver went through Schneeweiss. He took his hand and said, I beg you to do this for us so that we may still find some dignity in our humiliating existence. The stern face of Schneeweiss changed. For the first time, the rabbi saw in it a human spark. Tonight I cannot help you, Schneeweiss replied. But tomorrow on Yom Kippur I'll do whatever I can. The following day, the rabbi and a small group of young Hasidim were summoned to the foreman's cottage. He arranged for them to clean in a way that would not transgress any of the 39 categories of work. The rabbi was standing on a ladder with rags in his hand, cleaning the huge windows while chanting tefillos, and his companions on the floor were humming with him. At about 12 o'clock noon, the door opened wide. Into the room stormed two angels of death, SS men in their black uniforms. They were followed by a food cart filled to capacity. The room was filled with aroma of freshly cooked food, such as they had not seen since the German occupation. White bread, steaming hot vegetable soup, huge portions of meat. The tall SS soldier commanded, you must eat immediately or you will be shot on the spot. No one moved. The rabbi and the Hasidim remained in their places. The German repeated his orders. The Jews remained glued to their places. The SS man called to Schneeweiss. Schneeweiss, if the dirty dogs refuse to eat, I'll kill you along with them. Schneeweiss pulled himself to attention, looked at the German directly in the eyes, and said in a quiet tone, we Jews do not eat today. Today is Yom Kippur, our most holy day, the Day of Atonement. You don't understand, Jewish dog, roared the SS soldier. I command you in the name of the Führer and the Third Reich. Fress, eat. Schneeweiss composed his head high, repeated the same answer. We Jews obey the law of our tradition. Today is Yom Kippur, a day we fast. The German took out his revolver from his holster and pointed it at Schneeweiss's temple. Schneeweiss remained calm. He stood still at attention. A shot pierced the room, and Schneeweiss fell. The rabbi and the Hasidim remained frozen in their places, not believing what they had just witnessed. Schneeweiss, the man who in the past had publicly transgressed against every law in the Torah, had sanctified God's name publicly and died a martyr's death, Mesiris Nefesh, for the sake of Jewish honor. And only then, said the Rebbe of Lujav, I knew, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that every Jew, even the most empty of Jews, are filled with mitzvos as pomegranates are filled with seeds. So when we think of Yitzchak Avinu, Mesiris Nefesh, we hold our heads high because that's something that we have yarshined from Yitzchak Avinu. And when Yitzchak in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, If you want me to take all of it, kravis alai. Kravis, the Lashon again. Kravis nafshi kamach. I was makriv myself in front of you. And we don't even have to go to such extreme cases. Far years ago, in our generation, one of the heroes of our generation, Natan Sharansky, I've read books about him and stories about him. There was an amazing story that's told when he was about to go into incarceration. His wife gave him a Tehillim. A Tehillim. He didn't really know how to read Hebrew. He didn't know how to read Hebrew then. But she gave him this book of Psalms. Take it with you. And throughout his incarceration, he didn't let that book go. He didn't know anything about it, but he was Moser Nefesh for that book, for that Tehillim. He went on hunger strikes when they wanted to take it away from him. Yom HaValayla. He's such a super genius that using his math brain, somehow he taught himself Hebrew. He taught himself Hebrew based on the grammar and the letters and how they were configured. I don't understand it. But somehow he taught it, and he writes in one of his books that the first pasuk that clicked, the first pasuk that he figured out, Nafal HaAsimon, as it said, Gam Ki'elch B'geit Samavas, Lo Ira Raki Atayim Adi. The Kadosh Baruch Hu was with him because he never let go of that Tehillim. Fast forward, at 5-6 years ago, a woman who teaches Tanakh in Yerushalayim here, Yael Ziegler, she wrote that she was on a line on a Friday morning buying challahs in a bakery, and all of a sudden she looks online in front of her. Online in front of her, the person in front of her is Natan Sharansky. So, whoa, such a schus to meet you. I can't believe it, you're here. I teach Tanakh. I teach Tehillim at the beginning of every course. I always tell your story about the Tehillim. He reaches into his pocket and takes out the Tehillim. She says, you have it? You carry that wherever you go? And he says, no, I don't carry it. It carries me. See, even in our generation, we have those examples of those who are Moser Nefesh. And I heard in a shir of Eli Mansour suggested maybe that's the Mishnah in Sota. When it comes to Yemos HaMashiach, and we're limping towards Yemosh HaMashiach because maybe we're not perfect in Torah. We're not perfect in Avodah. We're not perfect. What are we perfect in? Ein lon amila she'ein ela al avidu shabashamayim. The avidu from the Gemara in Shabbos dot Peites. Yes, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but made a deeper sense. We rely on Yitzchak, the midah of Yitzchak Avinu. The Mesiris Nefesh element. That's what's going to take us and be our ticket into Yemosh HaMashiach. But one more point before we go back to the beginning questions. Mesiris Nefesh is not only in the extreme cases of Akedah, of Schneeweiss, even of Sharansky. Every day there are opportunities. What does Mesiris Nefesh after all mean? It's a question that is asked by some of the Achronim. The Akedah is known as the test of Avram Avinu. Asur Nisyonos, 10 tests of Avram Avinu. Question. Why is it called Avram's test and not Yitzchak's test? Yitzchak was the one that put his neck out. Okay, it was hard for Avram too. But why is it called Avram's test and not Yitzchak's test? It was Yitzchak that went through with it. So there's another question. Amazing. What happens after the Akedah? Avram Avinu goes back. Yitzchak disappears. He's nowhere. What happened to him? The whole beginning of Chayesara. He misses his mother's Leviah. He's not even there when they find a wife for him. Until they finally bring him to Berlach. Where'd Yitzchak go after the Akedah? So says the Medrash, well, where does anybody in Sefer Bereishis who disappears go? Shem Be'Ever! It's better Shem Be'Ever. Where else would he go? So he went to Shem Be'Ever. Okay, great. But ask the Shem HaNatov, source number 10. I don't understand. Shem Be'Ever, you have to go learn something. What more did Yitzchak have to learn? He put his neck out for the Akedah. Who's ready to be Moser Nefesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What more did Yitzchak have to go to yeshiva for? Explains the Shem HaNatov. Yitzchak knew how to die al Kiddush Hashem. But it's an even greater level to live al Kiddush Hashem. Not just to be Moser your Nefesh at the end of one's life, but to be Moser Nefesh every day of our life. Avraham Avinu was going to have to live with this every day for the rest of his life. V'nired yitachin. And that's why it's his nisayon. She has no koach ba'adam. It's possible that this koach of a person limps or nafsho, kiddush Hashem. Avot tzrichim lomot eich lichyos for kiddush Hashem. We have to know how to live on kiddush Hashem. every single day. Yeshu nisyonos kol yom bayom. V'zeo kasha mi misir zeh v'shchad pami. It's not a one-time thing. It's every day, waking up, shaping our lives. After all, what does Mesiras Nefesh mean? Shaping our lives so we know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu would want. But 10 years ago, there was a man, 20 years old, he was with his mother in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. He was there for Shabbos, but his mother was having some respiratory illness, respiratory distress, she wasn't doing so well. And it was Shabbos morning, and they noticed this whole, something going on in the hallway. You know what was going on? There was a whole big commotion in the hallway. And they go out and they say, does anybody here know how to lane this parsha? They're like, actually, yeah, I know how to lane. It's like, really? Please, come. They go up 2 flights. What's up 2 flights? Go up 2 flights? Rav Yashiv is in a hospital room and he needs a laning. He was there with his doctor, Dr. Ali, who flew in from. So he needed a. So he came and he laned for Rav Yashiv. So after the laning, after the davening, Rav Yashiv gives him a shkayach and says, wow, is this your bar mitzvah parsha? He says, yeah, it is. But I never laned it before. Like, you never laned it? What do you mean? He says, your bar mitzvah parsha. He's like, yeah, but I never laned it before. He's like, oh, what does that mean? He says, 7 years ago, he was 20, 7 years ago, the Shabbos of my bar mitzvah, I came to shul with, you know, my whole family, and there was some changing of the gabayim that week. There was an old gabay and a new gabay, and they both arranged, there were 2 bar mitzvahs in shul. And they both came, and the families, and everybody was there. And what happens? There are 2 bar mitzvahs in shul. What happens? They start arguing. Like, no, the old gabbai, he had a muchzuk. And then, no, the new gabbai is the one today. He just took over. Whole thing. So I said, forget it. I said, let him win. It's fine. It was just the whole machlok. It was just machlok. Just forget it. Rav Yashiv says, You said, forget it, you're a mevatir, a 13-year-old boy, the most exciting day of his life. He comes, he's ready to lane, and he says, don't worry about it. He says, why are you in the hospital? He says, my mother's downstairs. She says, take my doctor down with you. See if he can help. A week later, she was out, she was perfect, she was fine. Rabbi Yashiv recognized the unbelievable mesiras nefesh that this 13-year-old boy had. What does mesiras nefesh mean? Modeling our life, shaping our lives so we know what a Kodesh Baruch Hu would want. Not ultimately giving our life for Hashem. That's in the most extreme cases. But it's shaped Mesiras Nefesh, giving our Nefesh to a Kodesh Baruch Hu every day. What he would want. Right, the Gemara says in Shabbos, you might have heard this from me before. The Gemara says, we know Shabbos Laman Aleph, the 6 questions that we're going to be asked. Not really questions, statements, doesn't say Shalim. B'shar Shemachnis Adam Ladin. When we're brought to judgment, Omrim Lo, not Sholem, Omrim, the video is going to be playing. There's not going to be any questions we're going to have to answer. Right? We're going to be standing there and have to defend our life. Omrim Lo, we know the questions. Peruvu, it's basically Yeshua. So Pashas, Kalati to Matorah, Pashas is, did you set aside time for Torah? But there's a Medrash, I think in Marsha's Matos, that says it's a deeper idea. Kavata itim la Torah. Did you set the itim, the times to the Torah, or did you set the Torah to the times? What was constant? Is the Torah the anchor, and every part of my life that fits into the Torah, I'll take? And if not, I'll have to do away with it. Or is my life constant, and whatever part of Torah fits into my life, I'll take? And if not, I don't need that part of Torah. Kavata itim la Torah. What our life is about is about fitting our lives into everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and the Torah, and what the Torah says. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Asei ritzono kiritzoncha. We have to make our ratzon Hashem's ratzon. Rabbi Lau writes in Yachal Yisrael in his commentary Pirkei Avos, it's very hard. Because sometimes I want to do something and it doesn't exactly fit in to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. Avodah kasha me'ein dugmasa. It's very hard to fit in everything in my life, but that's what we're called on to do, and that's the definition of Mesiras Nefesh. To be Moser, my Nefesh, to shape my life to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting. That's the Midah of Yitzchak Avinu. And that's a job in our lives, and there's tremendous chuyos with that. I skipped it, but that's the Gemara in Brachos, when they talk about why did the early generations get Nisim? Because they were Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's the Gemara. We learn so much. We learn all the Masechtas and all the Siddurim, and they get more Nisim. They take off the shoe and start pouring. That's what the Gemara say. Kamay avikam masu nafshay la kedushas Hashem. Mesiras Nefesh. So let's go back a little bit to the beginning questions. B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven, they build this huge Mizbeach. Why they build a Mizbeach? Isn't that could be misconstrued? Maybe people can misunderstand. Why is that so dangerous? Maybe they realized the secret of staying strong throughout Galus, in time and place, is to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mizbeach symbolizes that. The Mizbeach, which is exactly in the spot, we know right over there, the Mizbeach, which is right in the spot, the Mekubal Yosef, the Rambam says, where the Akedah took place. The Mizbeach is the symbol of Mesiris Nefesh of a Jew. In the most extreme cases, Mamish of the Mizbeach. But it's really the less extreme cases. That's the Rambam, right? That V'ubikdash Nekad Yitzchak Avinu. Shenamar, V'lech L'chal Eretz HaMoriah. After 14 years, they realized, we've been Moser Nefesh for 14 years. We've been away from our families. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. But we also remember and realize that that's what we need to take with us. We need to shape our lives to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And sometimes it's a little tricky. We have to figure it out. But that's why Mizbeach L'mara. Dafka Mizbeach. Because that's what's needed. That's what's needed for living as a Jew, living strongly as a Jew. And as we go and we leave Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we focus on cleansing ourselves and starting off a new slate, and as we head into the year, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev, we realize that the way to succeed is to shape our daily schedule, to shape our lives. But and that's all symbolized by the Mizbeach. And that's why there's such a focus on Sukkos. Because Sukkos is taking all those messages and those decisions and those resolutions that we decided on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to put into practice. But how do we do that? To remember the Mizbeach. B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, remember the Mizbeach. And that's the secret of our survival. The Mesiris Nefesh, right? The Rambam writes, Inuchas Deus, shaping my life, as the pasuk says, Rambam in Source 18. Sarech Adam leshchavin libo v'chol ma'isav kulam leid as Hashem. Our whole life has to be about focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be a shivto v'kumo v'diburo. Everything we do, we eat, we drink, we sleep, we go on vacation. Everything we do, right? Everything we do. Hopefully, Hashem, after Yantif, all of you should go on Tehillim and see the land. See, just go see Eretz Yisrael, enjoy it, experience it. It's all part of our avoda. This is the land that Hashem said is the most special land in the world. So I need to appreciate it more. I need to make sure that I have the experiences to connect to Eretz Yisrael. And that's also part of avodah. It's all part of B'chol Derechecha Te'ehu. And that's the Mizbeach. What about the water? What about the water? So the Mizbeach symbolizes the greatest moment of Mesiris Nefesh of the individual in history. If we think to what was the greatest national moment of Mesiris Nefesh in history, Parshas Peshalach, Kriyas Yamsuf. The Aruch Chaim asked this obvious, simple question on a pasuk in Parshas Peshalach. What did Bnei Yisrael do? They were at the Yamsuf, the Mitzrayim were behind them, there was nowhere to go, but Yitzakum Bnei Yisrael Hashem. They screamed out to Hashem. What's the next pasuk? Hashem says, why are you davening to me? Go! It's one of the most surprising psukim in all the Torah. There are certain psukim that are very underrated. Certain underrated psukim. We mentioned before the Akedah. By Yashkin Avram Abokar, Avram got up in the morning. He was able to sleep the night before. Hashem told him to kill his son the next day. Would you be able to sleep? You know, we have a test the next day, we can't sleep. I'm going to get Avram slept like a baby. By Yashkin Avram Abokar, that's an amazing pasuk. So there's another pasuk, it's amazing. But he's supposed to start calling, screaming to Hashem. Hashem said, don't daven, just go. We don't daven. Ask the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. What should a Jew do? It's not daven. B'shas Saras. When there's an Eis Sara, what else should we be doing besides davening? Chashe, ulemul Yitzhak, imlol Hashem elokov, uvirprat be'eis Sara. What do you mean, don't daven? They have to daven. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, there are some moments in history where Torah is not going to do it, where tefillah is not going to do it, where chesed is not going to do it. And the only thing that's going to do it is Mesiris Nefesh. Go into the Yamsuf. With that emuna that you have that's on your back, going into the water, that will help bring the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. The greatest moment in our national history was Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach, where we connect the individual Mesiras Nefesh symbolized by the Mizbeach of Yitzhak Avinu and the national Mizbeach, and the national Mesiras Nefesh of pouring the water of Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Arvoda on Sukkos is to take the messages, the decisions, the states that we were in. Let's try to remember what we felt at the end of Ne'ilah while we were dancing around the yeshiva, what we were thinking and feeling and what we felt, and make sure we don't lose it. And make sure we take it with us. And make sure we shape our lives into what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want. And that's the definition of Mesiras Nefesh. And if we think we can't do it, we're wrong. We can. Rav Chaim Ivelojin told us that we could do it. In the Ruach Chaim in Pirkei Avos, in Source 21, there are two Mishnayos in a row in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. One of them says there were 10 generations from Noach to Abraham. Dot, dot, dot. The next Mishnah, there were 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu that he passed. Dot, dot, dot. Ask Rav Chaim Ivelojin, why does the first Mishnah not say the word Avinu? First one just says Abraham. And in the next Mishnah, it says Avraham Avinu. Why Dafka Avinu in the second Mishnah? Says Rav Chaim Ivelojin, because when Avram passed his tests, he put it into the DNA of his descendants to be able to pass these tests as well. He acted as a Vinu when he passed these tests. Whenever anybody gets up, even though it might not be so logical and they're comfortable and say, I want to go make Aliyah, says Rav Chaim Ivelojin, that's from Lech Lecha. That's from Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. And when a Jew is Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's from the Akedah. It's in our blood to be able to succeed in this area. To be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can do it, we succeed, not just to die on Kiddush Hashem, but to live on Kiddush Hashem. Because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from us every single day. And if all this is true, we didn't answer the first question. If we are Moser Nefesh, and we live a life connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no greater simcha in the world than feeling connected. Emecha ben Chorin, Elam Yishiyasok BaTorah. Rabbi Lam, in one of his drushes, in Source 22, writes that there's a big difference between fun and happiness. But really, in American jargon, happiness really means fun. The pursuit of happiness. The founding fathers, the pursuit of happiness. What did they mean by happiness? They didn't mean by what we mean as simcha. They didn't mean that. Maybe they meant fun. But fun is fleeting. What's simcha? What's simcha in halacha and hashkafa? Says Rabbi Lam. Real simcha is, of course, nothing of the sort. True joy, in the Jewish sense, is not an escape from life, but an intensification of his loftiest features. It's the elevation of man, the enhancement of his spirit. Skip of two lines. To enjoy the companionship of Hashem and his gifts, that's the gist of happiness. When we feel close to Hashem, there's no greater simcha in the world. The person can have all the money in the world, but if they don't feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a chisaron. The richest people in the world aren't the happiest people in the world. The people who feel the most fulfilled are the happiest people in the world. So when we shape our lives in the derech of Yitzchak Avinu, Avinu Ata, Elon Jela, Avinu Shem HaShamayim, and following the Kriyas Yamsuf model, there's no greater simcha in the world. So we think about the Avodah of Sukkos. It's the greatest simcha. It's Mesiras Nefesh, and it's a time to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just to end with the Medrash. Medrash tells us that Adam and Cain were once walking down the street, and they bumped into each other. And Adam's like, hey, Cain, how you doing? Cain says, great, I did tshuva. Adam's like, really? I didn't know. That's amazing. Question is, what does that mean? Why did he know about tshuva? He said, Nispasharti im Koni. What did Cain have that Adam didn't have? To explain to Mefarshim, Cain had a father. And tshuva is coming back to our father. This last day of the Yomim Noraim is a day of coming back. It's the final day of tshuva. It's the final day of feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us all be mechazik ourselves. And with Hashem, with true simcha, and do it in order to achieve true simcha, be mekabel on ourselves to shape our lives, to be koveya the itim to the Torah, to be moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way, Be'ez Hashem, to be able to be close with our Father and have the ultimate simcha in the world. Be'ez Hashem, we should all be successful in our endeavor of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Sure. Yeah.